This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock. Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago and beyond, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. Today is Thursday, August 31st, when you're listening to this.
It's not today.
When you're listening to this, that's what it is. August
31st. Absolutely.
Today for us is not August.
It is
so
not.
Anything exciting happened and we didn't know it. Like, I don't know if like a mercenary Russian coup guy fell out of the sky in an airplane or something. Anything wacky happened.
We do know about that.
Yeah. I was listening to, I don't know, one of the news podcasts I listened to.
You were thinking, you said crash, and I immediately put the Fire Festival guy up, but I'll take him down. Go ahead.
No, it's just funny. I was listening to one of those news podcasts this morning or this afternoon, and they couldn't help but make a joke. It's like, unlike most Russian dissidents who fall out of buildings, this one fell out of an airplane. Like,
wow.
Because it's just true. Like, they mostly get thrown out of buildings.
Sure.
Like, they just like, I fell. It was entirely an accident.
I should have been tying my shoe so recklessly.
Well, did you hear, like, Putin did a conference and he's like, yeah, he had an interesting life and made a lot of bad decisions. He's like, well, we're to mourn for the loss. He's a great businessman, but he made some questionable choices.
Yikes.
And you're just like, dude, you're saying it. Yeah. We all know you're saying
that. Everybody knows. Everybody knows, bro.
All right. So let's launch into the stories. This story is from the Miami New Times. I read this and it felt fake. This felt fucking fake. Promoter peddles VIP tickets for Firefest 2.0.
Tom, do you want to watch the video?
Oh, Lord, yes. I didn't think there was a video.
Oh, Tom, we're going to watch this video. So here we go.
Oh, there's a video. So hold on. Can we go? Can we go? Can we do an expose?
That's a lot of money.
Well, you don't have to get the super expensive tickets. Well,
it's a lot of money. It's $8,000.
No, that's for the most expensive ticket.
Maybe not.
No, they're in tiers.
Okay.
They're in tiers. I want to be in tiers.
Yeah,
though.
I will be in tiers.
I want to go.
Tom, when you hear this, you're going to be like, there's no way I would ever send this man a penny of my money.
I want to go. I'm sure this is real.
So here we go.
This is legit.
What's up, guys? This is a big day. Because as of right now, Fyre Festival 2 tickets are officially on sale. It has been the absolute wildest journey to get here, and it really all started during the 7th month stint in solitary confinement. I wrote out this 50-page plan of how it would take this overall interest and demand in Fyre, and how it would take my ability to bring people from around the world together to make the impossible happen, but how it would find the best partners in the world to allow me to be me while executing Fyre's vision to the highest level. In my first year, I partnered with one of the biggest and best TV companies in the world to produce a documentary called After the Fyre. I've also worked with one of the biggest production companies to sign a deal to produce Fyre Festival, the Broadway musical. And finally, today we are announcing Fyre Festival 2. We spoke to people as far away as the Middle East and South America, and ultimately we decided that Fyre Festival 2 is coming back to the Caribbean. We are targeting Fyre Festival 2 for the end of next year. And in the meantime, we'll be doing pop-ups and events across the world. Guys, this is your chance to get in. This is everything I've been working towards. Let's fucking go.
That's a spoof. It's got to be a spoof.
Tom, this fucking whole thing. Can you imagine shitting this much privilege?
Ugh.
I mean, seriously, right? Like you had enough privilege to do all this stuff and you were clearly could walk in it. He had these dumbest ideas that never made money, and he somehow kept on building on these dumb ideas. If you don't know who this guy is, Fyre Festival guy originally came up with a dumb credit card idea that was like a play. It wasn't just a credit card. It was like a club where you could go and hang out with other rich people who had like the credit card.
Yeah, you got like
a
black metal club card.
Yeah.
And you got like access to like a super nice townhouse.
But you didn't though. That's the thing you actually didn't, because a bunch of people tried it and they said they never got any of the perks that they suggested and that the credit card didn't work. And it was just a nightmare, right?
It was just a scam.
But this guy is exactly what privilege is, right? He goes to fucking prison and then he sits down in prison and he writes his plan for when he gets out of prison. And then he sells his sad, sad privilege story to fucking Broadway producers who are going to make him money off his failure, man.
I have no idea, Cecil, if that's real, right? Like, I have no idea if anybody maybe really
You know what? Maybe not. Right? But I don't put it past somebody.
I don't put it past them either. Because like, one, it would be a fucking fire story. Like, yeah, real. I will go see Fyre Fest, the musical or whatever. And I'm sure I will laugh my fucking dick off watching that. Like, and I know he'll get a residual from it. And I'll feel a little weird about that. But at the same time, he went to prison.
He did go to prison.
And I didn't go to prison. I'll go to Broadway. Yeah. So like, I'm winning here, you know?
But genuinely, there's nothing more illustrative of privilege than this.
Oh, 1,000%.
Right? You know, there's a guy who's able to fuck up again and again and again, yet somehow he comes up on top. Why is that?
Well, because he's like a fucking rich, white, privileged little shit.
Yeah.
Like, this is a guy who went to prison for scamming people for the Fyre Fest. And in the middle of solitary confinement, he comes up with an idea for the sequel to Fyre Fest, which he's just branding Fyre Fest 2.0.
If like, how many pages did that take?
Well, like,
he wrote a 500-page fucking memoir.
And I love that he's like, and my ability to make the impossible happen. And it's like, the whole reason you went to jail is because you made the impossible not happen. People showed up and there was no anything. There like you and fucking Ja Rule just scammed everybody.
It wasn't just that there wasn't anything. There wasn't food.
There was no food.
There was no shelter. The stuff that they put up was an absolute joke. They were charging an obscene amount of money to go to this festival.
They were supposed to be like these like luxury like yurts for like glamping. It was like BYO tent.
It was terrible.
On like a rocky like outcrop with like no food. People were given like a half a sandwich.
Half a sandwich with a bottle of water.
Oh God, it's so fucking funny.
Two documentaries that I watched.
Yeah, one on Hulu, one on Netflix. Yeah, they're both worth watching.
I watched them both and it's a nightmare to be part of this.
And there's a citation needed.
Yeah, there's also a citation needed that probably used both of those.
I did use both of those,
But genuinely, you know, in the citation needed, we talk, and they also in the documentaries, they talk about this guy. He's just been a scammer his whole career.
Yeah.
And now he's doing it again and he's able to do it now. And he's able to make residual money off his shitty fucking Fyre Festival. It's such a slap in the fucking face.
It is,
man.
But Cecil. I know.
I'm going to watch it too. Here's the thing.
One, I want to go.
Yeah.
I want to go because I think it would be a fucking riot.
Yeah.
Bring your own water. BYOW, bro.
I'm going to bring my own cheese sandwich.
I'm going to bring like a fucking like backpacking Europe backpack.
I'm going to bring a yurt. I'm going to set my yurt up in the audience.
Fucking delicious. But like, I don't like blame the victim. I don't. But if you fall for Fyre Fest 2.0, I blame you.
Man, you got to stay away from this guy. But again, I think this guy plays on the ultra luxe VIP experience that I think a lot of people are sold in our culture and then a lot of people thirst for in our culture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so he sells that to them and they want to buy it.
They want it to be real.
They want this
to be real more than their good sense tells them that this can't be.
Exactly.
This feels like, did you watch Parks and Recreation?
Yeah, I did.
Just feels like when Tommy was trying to sell that like snake juice, the snake juice alcohol. And he's like, all right, I want you to like walk through the fucking VIP. He's like, high-end VIP. Like, it's just like trying to sell. He's selling a lifestyle. Do you remember this episode?
Yeah.
And like, he feels that obvious about it, right? Like, high-end VIP, luxury lifestyle. Yeah. Like, just buzzwords, hashtag.
But man, look at how easily he sold that to so many people. He did. Look at how much money he made from that, because all he had to do was show, all he needed was a filmmaker to go out there and film some hot girls jumping off a fucking boat into beautiful water that literally probably wasn't even, I don't even think was near the island. I don't think it was either. And then get a bunch of influencers to talk about it on their Instagram feeds.
Well, and like, I don't want to go too far down this road, but that's like, this is also the problem with influencer culture.
Sure.
Right? Is that none of that influencer stuff, none of it, it's all fake. All of that is made up and none of that should ever be trusted. This is all a business model. All influencers are is another Don Draper level advertisement, right? Yeah. But we build, what they do that's nefarious is they develop parasocial relationships with an audience. Then they leverage the parasocial relationship to build trust. And that's different than a newspaper ad. And that's different than a television ad, because they don't have an emotional resonance with that stuff.
Yeah.
Influencers are worse. They're just objectively worse.
Yeah.
And the problem with a culture awash in influencers is you have people who are like, yeah, I trust that person. That person feels like someone I love and trust and is a friend of mine because I've developed a parasocial bond with that person. And it's like, yeah, but they're leveraging that for their gain. They don't give a shit.
They don't give a shit.
They don't know you. This bond only goes one way.
And very obviously, when it comes to this fire festival, the people who all influenced it, none of them went.
Yeah.
They weren't going.
They don't have any skin in this game.
They didn't care. They got paid money to talk about Fyre Festival on their Instagram feeds, and they did. And then that's the end of their relationship with the whole thing. And then after it blew up, they're just like, oh, that sounds terrible. Anyway, who's going to pay me for my next influencer game?
Right. Yeah.
I don't care. What do I care? Wait, it didn't
I got flown down to the Caribbean and I got to swim with the fucking dolphins or whatever. Yeah. And, you know? That's it. Or wasn't it actually, didn't they go to an island full of pigs?
They did.
There's an island full of pigs. They got the fucking pigs drunk.
Yeah. Well, then there was a part where they were like running away from the pigs.
You guys, there's a Citation Needed episode on this. Go check it out. It's a lot of fun. All right. So this story comes from NBCMiami.com.
Wow. NBC.
Manatee dies after, quote, high intensity sexual behavior with his brother at Florida Aquarium. Cecil, you did the notes this week. Sure.
Yeah. I want to let you know this ahead of time. I have a manatee thing because there's another manatee story after this.
Cecil, I used to want to go swimming with the manatees. Like manatees, I'm learning this today. Manatees evidently fuck with such vigor that they're just like, yeah, it's just standard manatee fucking behavior. Yeah, no,
manatee fucking can fuck you up.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who would have thought? Like these fucking like grass eating sea cows are like, yeah, I'm plastered in the ocean, but I'm something else in bed. What?
I'm rolling thunder, pouring rain. There's another story, too, that's also about manatees, and it's Florida cops, stop narking on manatee orgies. And so here's the picture. I love this picture, too. They look so cute. But genuinely, they're saying, no, manatees get into big fuck piles, dude. And they look like this. They look like big-ass fuck piles. And you just want to stay away from there? I don't care how sweet it looks. Don't rolling into the manatee fuck pile.
And evidently, people are like calling the cops like, hey, these manatees are in trouble. It's like when little kids see dogs fucking and they're
Daddy's
like,
Daddy's fighting mommy.
Mom and dad are wrestling and dad's winning.
Dad's winning by a lot. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's exactly it. That's exactly like, it. Stop hurting her.
She wouldn't be yelling like that.
But genuinely, these people are worried. They're like, no, man, what's happening? Something's wrong with these manatees. It's like, no, there's nothing wrong with these manatees. Let me explain. When one manatee loves another manatee very, very much, when one group of manatees loves another group of manatees, they have a group orgy. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like I love the cops. They're just like, they're not hurt.
Yeah.
Very much the opposite.
You know what it is? It's a Florida Key party. Speaking of fucking Florida, Jesus Christ, Tom.
The fuck kind of... This is great. Tampa mayor. The mayor of Tampa went fishing, caught a 70-pound block of cocaine. 70 pounds of cocaine.
That is an intense amount of cocaine.
You know, what's interesting is when she initially hauled it up, they thought it was 100 pounds of cocaine, but then when the police arrived later, it was 70 pounds of cocaine. And she was very excited about it, by the way. Very, very excited about it.
And so was Heath, who was next
to her. Very excited about it. What would you do if you caught, like, if you were just, like, in the ocean and you caught 70 fucking pounds of cocaine?
What do you think I would do?
I would put it back.
Would you?
Fucking yeah, man. I don't want some, like, drug smuggler following my boat.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Like,
yeah.
I'd be like,
yeah, no, I, there's a
70 part, pounds of coke. I'd
I'm
be like,
such a
man,
I'm
fuck
such a fucking
shit.
Idiot though. I would be like, ooh, the police probably want this. And I would take it in. I'm just an idiot.
I would be like, we're going home.
Yeah.
I would immediately be like, I didn't see shit.
Didn't
and see I'm going
anything.
Home.
I didn't see anything.
I don't need some fucking
police,
submarine.
I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything yep. holding your hands over your eyes yep. the whole time.
Absolutely.
Drive the boat blind.
Fuck, I don't
back
need some
dock.
Fucking narco sub popping
yeah,
up
man.
Next to my boat.
No, you're 100% right. I'm just naive. I would 100% be like, ooh, look at this cocaine.
I'm going to call the cops.
What's in this package? Well, golly.
I don't even like cocaine. And I do know I'd be like, I should keep some. I don't even know why. I don't even like cocaine, but I'd be like, I should keep some. It's hard to get, so I want it.
There's a part of me that's like, man, could you just say I got a 70 pound block of it? That's got to be worth what, $70 at least.
Here's the thing, too.
They like, sell it for $1 a pound like, on the back of your
right?
You got a fish scale. You're just pouring it on there.
That's just not worth it. Like, I wouldn't even know who to call.
Yeah.
Like, if I had, like, a 70 pounds of cocaine,
yeah.
like, I'd be like, yeah. And they'd be like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, I'm too stupid. Like, I'm not connected to anybody. I'd be like, Noah.
I'd have a sign at a rummage sale or whatever. I donated to one of those drop-off boxes. And then I'd write it off on my taxes.
I'd be too afraid to even like bring it in the boat. I'd be like,
yeah,
I'm
going
to bring it in the boat and the cops are going to come over to my boat and they're going to think I'm like picking it up for a drug. I'm under surveillance.
And the other thing though, too, is
no.
I mean, this is a fucking very, very tightly wound package of something.
Right.
So my thought would be the moment I'd see it, I'd be like, what is this? A fucking bomb? Like, what is this?
Yeah. Right. Is it a body?
Like, what is in there?
Yeah.
Cause you know, you pull out a 70 pound block of something. You think, what is that? A fucking half a torso in there? What
sure,
is that?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so they had to open it up and then be like, oh shit, now I got to call somebody, you know, whatever. Cause it's not, certainly not fucking anthrax.
Yeah. Like, is there a finder's fee on that? It'd be like, all right, it's worth $1 million.
No.
I'll let you guys have it.
They don't give you your own fucking like battering ram to knock doors down. Or you don't get like a fucking, you don't get like the door prize.
You should get something.
Like they give you one of those cars that they ride around in that
yeah,
they break.
There
in
you
the,
go.
One of those tanks that Steven Seagal rode in.
Yeah,
that's what they
see,
give
that
you.
Would only be fair. Yeah.
They give you like a AR-15 and a helmet. Here you go, kid.
All right, scroll to the bottom of this article because there's a line in the bottom of this article I want to read. It's from The Guardian. Supermarket AI meal planner app suggests recipe that would create chlorine gas. I want to read chunks of this article because it's fucking
this
great.
This is great.
A New Zealand supermarket experimenting with using AI to generate meal plans, which I think is a great idea, by the
way,
has seen its app produce some unusual dishes, recommending customers' recipes for deadly chlorine gas, poison bread sandwiches, and mosquito repellent roast potatoes.
Jesus Christ.
The app, created by supermarket chain Pack and Save, was advertised as a way for customers, and this I think is good, to creatively use up leftovers during the cost of living crisis. It asks users to enter in various ingredients in their homes and then auto-generates a meal plan or a recipe along with a cheery commentary.
Can we stop here for a second?
Yeah.
Couldn't that just be done with a database, though? Like, couldn't you just use like a regular, something that we know how it works, like a database instead of an algorithm? Couldn't you just have like a really extensive database that goes through and checks and says, okay, they listed these three ingredients. Let me say this.
Yes, probably. But that would probably be harder to build. One of the things about AI is it's real easy.
Yeah. To just sick it on something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So they probably just did this for expediency.
I see.
You know, but I love this. It initially drew attention on social media for some unappealing recipes, including an Oreo vegetable stir fry.
That feels like something that only Eli Bosnick would eat.
But who is going in and saying like, all right, here's the thing.
I got wasabi and Oreos.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're just fucking with it.
And that's
right?
the thing.
And
is
that's
this,
okay.
This whole
thing is people
this
fucking
whole article
with it.
Is people fucking with it.
When customers began experimenting with entering a wider range of household shopping list items into the app, however, it began to make even less appealing recommendations. One recipe it dubbed, what I love about it, Cecil, is that this thing names these things and then provides this like cheerful, sort of like breathless, like food porn vocabulary around.
Sure, yeah.
One recipe it dubbed aromatic water mix would create chlorine gas. It would be aromatic. The bot recommends the recipe as the perfect non-alcoholic beverage to quench your thirst and refresh your senses.
Doesn't chlorine gas immediately kill you?
I don't know if it kills you immediately, but it doesn't do any favors for you.
I thought chlorine gas was the stuff they used in the
in World War One. Yeah, okay. I don't know if it immediately, but like I know some people.
It fucks you up.
Mm-hmm. Serve chilled and enjoy the refreshing fragrance, it says, but does not note that inhaling chlorine gas can cause lung damage or death. New Zealand political commentator Liam Hare posted the recipe to Twitter, prompting other New Zealanders to experiment and share their results to social media. Recommendations included a bleach fresh breath mocktail, ant poison and glue sandwiches.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Bleach infused rice surprise and methanol bliss, good a kind Lord. Of turpentine flavored French toast.
Nasty.
I love the names though.
I know.
And the little descriptions and everything.
I know.
That's the, and then I like that the supermarket's like, oh man, guys.
Well, I mean, you sick the internet on it.
I know.
And you, I think the one thing that we underestimated was people's want and ability to troll. Yes. I think we underestimated that a long time ago.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I was reminded of America Online this week. I'm doing a season liberally and I mentioned America Online in the actual season liberally that I'm putting together. And it reminded me of being one of the, to be honest, one of the first people I knew to be on the internet, right? I was one of the first people, I didn't know anybody else who was. None of my friends. We had at that point in my life, my brothers were both working and one of them had bought a computer. He was into early computer games, talking like Doom and Wolfenstein and things like that. And he was into early computer games and he had a computer. It was an IBM PC and he bought it with like, you know, working and he bought it and he was living at home. And so I had access to his PC.
Sure.
And his PC was one of the first ones that they sold with a modem on it. And it came with a free disk of AOL. Well, AOL back then was like $20 a month. That was an expensive.
That's expensive back
then. It was like
then.
Either 15 or 20. It was inordinately expensive. And $15 back in like 1994 was actually 91, 92.
That's
was
very expensive.
Very expensive, $15 a month. But it got you on the internet. It also, AOL sort of had their own message boards and they had chat rooms, right? Yeah. So there would be these massive chat rooms where people would come in and they had all kinds of chat rooms where you could chat about all different kinds of things in real time with other people. And then they would even have role-playing chat rooms where you would role play. There was one I used to go to called Red Dragon Inn when I was a kid. I was a high school kid and I would go there and it was a fake tavern where people would come in and describe what they were doing and all this stuff. It was a total nerdy thing for myself to do, but I loved it. Yeah, I thought it was so much fun, right?
Yeah.
But I remember calling my friends up and there's a point to this story and it's about trolling. I call my friends over and I'm like, hey, you guys want to come over and check it out? I'll show you guys. And as soon as I go into the tavern, they're like, tell that guy to go fuck himself. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. They're like, tell him you'll fucking kill him. And
I know
I'm like,
your friends,
and
man.
I'm like, no, man, I'm not going to do that. Like, what is wrong with you? And there was a part of me that was like, no, this culture that I'm involved in, that's rude. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do that in real life. I certainly wouldn't do that here. But immediately, because there was a separation between them and the other things, they immediately were like, fuck it up.
Yeah.
It needs to get fucked up. Fuck it up somehow. And it never occurred to me then, but it really does now reflect, I think, a lot of people's ideas and how they react to internet culture and the internet is, I don't fucking care what happens there. Yeah. I want to treat this like the bad people in Westworld.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I totally agree. It's like it's like they've got this tool for the supermarket that's actually quite useful.
Yeah.
If it worked, they'd be like useful. Be like, oh, I have some rice and some leftover chicken thighs, and I've got some this other thing, and it'd be like, oh, here you can make this like quick meal, and I don't have to worry about like meal planning for the night. You know, I got other things to worry about, and this just took that off my plate.
Sure.
That's great. There's a lot of value to that. But like 100% people are going to be like, type in weird shit.
Type in dick.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Type in that you got a kitchen full of like lube, cockroaches, and ball hair. And you're just like, yeah. Because like, I totally agree. Our desire to just go in and be like, well, what if we smash stuff when no one's looking? It's like there's a Beavis and Butthead in like so many of us.
So many of us.
So many of us. That just is like, if no one's looking, we'll burn it all down.
Yeah. I mean, I look back on that moment. I guess I had kind of forgotten about it, but I very much remember that moment where both my friends were like, no man, fuck shit up. Like you need to fuck everything up here right now. And I think, you know, that's a real common response.
Oh, absolutely.
Because there's so much separation and there's no stakes.
Yeah, well, there's no humanizing either.
Yeah.
Right. Like if you break something in a virtual space, it doesn't feel like anything got broken.
Yeah.
Right. It doesn't feel like if I walked into your house and just like started smashing your belongings.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
Like you're a person I know, but like, yeah, I mean, and this is like reflected in other real world stuff, right? Like if a house sits vacant for too long, people are going to break into the house and fuck that house up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we just need like a little hint that something is a little less than human and people want to attack it. And the online space is not fully human.
Yeah.
And that like distance, it's important. I think like the distance plus the connection to humanity, sure. those things together make us feel weird.
Yeah.
They make us feel like we should probably break this.
Yeah.
We should just probably, I don't know what this is.
Maybe it's a fuck it up. It's our fucking, I don't know. It's a defense mechanism.
It's like the revenge of the uncanny valley, you know? Every word of this is getting read.
Right.
This story doesn't make any sense, and this will leave you with more questions than it could possibly ask.
It's a Vice story. I was like, I read it, and I was like, I don't understand what's happening.
I read this twice.
Okay.
Because I thought, I must have missed
something. I must have missed it. I guess I didn't miss it either. Okay, Tom.
Okay. Flying aliens harassing village in Peru are actually illegal miners with jetpacks, cops say.
Okay. All right.
So if that headline didn't clear things up for you. I'm going to read this as seriously as I can. It's a very serious article.
It's a very serious article, Tom.
The mysterious attacks began on July the 11th. Strange beings, locals said, visiting an isolated indigenous community in rural Peru at night, harassing its inhabitants and attempting to kidnap a 15-year-old girl. Everything about this, quote, these gentlemen are aliens.
Pardon me, madame.
But do you have any alien poop on? They seem armored like the Green Goblin from Spider-Man. Yeah. I have shot one twice and it didn't fall. Instead, it elevated and disappeared. We're frightened by what is happening in the community. Quote, their color is silver. Their shoes are round in shape. And with those, they rise up. They float 1 meter high and have a red light on their heels, said Avila. Their heads are long, their mask is long, and their eyes are sort of yellowish.
Hold on a second. Is there a picture?
Then there's a picture that was shot by what? What, a cantaloupe? This isn't even a potato. What even is this picture?
It feels like computer generated, but like back in the 80s.
This is nothing. What is this? Mothman?
Yeah,
this is nothing.
That's nothing. That's literally nothing. We're looking at essentially smudges. These aren't anything. There's no way to discern what that is. It's just light at night.
Yeah, it's nothing. News of the alleged extraterrestrial attackers quickly spread online as believers, skeptics, and internet sleuths around the world analyzed grainy videos posted by members of the Iquitu community. The reported sightings came on the heels of U.S. congressional hearings about unidentified aerial phenomenon that ignited a global conversation of idiots. That's my about the possibility of extraterrestrial life visiting Earth. There's not. Members of the Peruvian Navy and police traveled to the isolated community, which is located 10 hours by boat. But evidently they have internet, by the way, because they posted this.
Oh, they might have 5G out there.
Yeah, they might.
You know,
which is located 10 hours by boat from the Minas provincial capital of Iquitos to investigate the strange disturbances in early August. Last week, authorities announced that they believe that the perpetrators were members of illegal gold mining gangs from Colombia and Brazil using advanced flying technology to terrorize the community. Carlos Castro Quintanilla, the lead investigator in the case, said that 80% of illegal gold Dredging in the region is located in the Nanay River Basin, where the Akitu community is located. One of the key pieces to the investigation was related to the attempted kidnapping of a 15-year-old girl on July the 29th. Christian Caleb Pakaya, a local teacher who witnessed the attack, said that they were using state-of-the-art technology, like thrusters that allow people to fly. He said that after looking the devices up on Google, he believed they were jetpacks. Authorities have not made any arrests related to the attacks, nor named the alleged assailants or their organization directly. However, the prosecutor's office claimed that they had destroyed 110 dredging operations and 10 illegal mining camps in the area. What the fuck would gold miners need with jetpacks?
What would aliens need with jetpacks?
They're just like, well, it's gold miners. And you're like, okay, they have jetpacks. Yeah, gold miners would need jetpacks. There's a lot of gold in the sky. Is it raining gold?
Maybe they need to go between like two like water wheels and they have two different.
I'm just saying no to that. No. No.
They're flying back and forth, shaking stuff as they go through.
I hope it's an attack of old-timey prospectors with fucking jetpacks. What the fuck is happening?
Here's the thing, man. It is 100%. Everything. I know that there's all these people out there that want to say there's so much stuff that's unexplained. It's like, just because you can't explain it doesn't mean it's unexplainable. You know what I mean? This is one of those moments, right? Just because you can't explain it doesn't mean it's unexplainable. And people are right now thinking that that's what it is. Have you seen those jetpacks that those people fly on? Have you seen those new ones that they're using with their arms?
No. Are they cool?
I'll show you one.
Why don't we have them?
I don't know how much they cost. Well, that's the thing is too, I feel like they're pretty
I feel
rare.
Like they've got to be really expensive. And again, not very useful to gold mining. Gold mining seems like a shovel sort of a job, not a jetpack sort of a job.
Custom jet suits.
Prices start from $380,000.
That doesn't feel like they would have something like that.
Then. I feel like that's a little out of the range.
I mean, you must
of miners in Peru.
My thought would be
dredging gold.
You would definitely need to be mining a lot. And I feel like this, it's like the old cocaine commercials, Tom, where you do cocaine so you could work more, so you could work more hours, so you could do more cocaine, so you could work more. Same thing. I bought a jetpack so I could fly faster to work, so I could do more work, so I could buy a jetpack so I could fly faster to work. That's
what in the shit explanation is, it's probably gold miners who are randomly harassing the village. Look, I'm not saying it's aliens, but I'm saying your alternative explanation is as nonsensical.
It might as well be aliens.
And I love that they have a video, guys, where it's like, it's in the dark, it's in the jungle, right? And you can see off in the distance, there's some doings that transpire, but you can't really tell what's going on. And they're hooting and hollering, yelling at it. And you can hear gunshots.
That's what
I'm like, this could be solved by searchlights.
Yeah. All you need is a brighter light.
You just need some serious lumens here.
Counterpoint, you get one of these jet suits.
Now that I know these exist, jet suits are the solution to every
jet
problem.
Jet suits are the solution.
I want one of these jet suits. I wonder how far you can go.
It doesn't feel like you could go very far. From what I was reading, their range is relatively limited. And I saw a couple of these get posted several times on Reddit, and they say the comments are always, or the title of the post is always something like, these jet suits are going to revolutionize how we rescue people. And everyone in the first comment almost always is, no, they won't, because helicopters are way more efficient and better. And there's no reason to ever send somebody up a mountain like this because they can't carry anybody down. And they're also relatively short range. So both of those things play against it being useful for.
Yeah, and I would think the range dramatically shortens when you pick a second guy worth of weight.
Well, I don't even think you can. I mean, I think they're not even built for that.
Well, they gotta drop off a $500,000 suit and be like, learn how to use it.
It's like Iron Man where they just drop it out of the sky and a guy just jumps in and flies away. No, but I mean, I guess maybe you could throw a rope on a guy and just drag him or something. But I feel like that might. That
I feel like if that was the solution, you could have done that without the jump.
Yeah, I mean, they could just roll. I mean, why? What do they need you for?
Jump down!
I'll catch you. Don't worry. But they just. The thing is that I think when we see this new technology stuff, we automatically think, oh, it's going to be cool and revolutionary, and then it doesn't do anything. Like the Segway. Do you remember the Segway?
The Segway was going to revolutionize everything.
The buzz around the Segway when it first came out was funny. Was this was actually something back in the day when I was still listening to Art Bell. So Art Bell was talking about it before it came out and said, there's a brand new technology that's coming out. I'm getting worried. It's going to revolutionize how we move, how anyone moves. It's going to revolutionize everything. And I remember him saying like the Segway, blah, blah, blah. And then it came out and it was like, it's a novelty.
Yeah.
It's literally a novelty.
Yep. Yeah. It's a toy. Like at this point, it's like, I see people on Segways all through my neighborhood all the time. The little ones that you control with your knees.
Yeah.
They go, they ride around and they sell shit door to door. That's mostly what they use them for.
Yeah.
It's like, I keep reading articles too that like, oh, the e-bike is going to change the way we commute. And I'm like, no, it's not. It rains all the time. Yeah. It's cold all the time.
Not here. It won't.
But it's like, these are such easy answers for like the really comfortable parts of this country.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah. In Southern California, you could take an e-bike to work. And it's like, yeah. In Southern California, you can do whatever you want. It's 75 degrees all the time. Yeah. Go fuck yourself. You're not most of this country.
Yeah.
Most of this country, it's raining right now, or it's boiling hot, yeah, or it's freezing cold.
Sure. Like, we had a conversation with Marsha a while back when we were talking about the 15-minute cities.
Yeah.
And we were saying, you know, that sort of thing wouldn't exist in the Midwest because right, we can't walk across a city in the Midwest for at least for maybe 6 months of the year, you wouldn't want to do it.
You wouldn't want to do it.
Yeah.
And like,
you certainly wouldn't want to do it today. Today was 100 degrees. Yeah. You wouldn't do it today.
Today was 100 degrees and the heat index was like a buck 20.
You wouldn't do it today.
No.
You'd be like, I don't want to walk anywhere. I'm going to stay inside or hide in the shade.
I see people on those e-bikes all the time. And they look really comfortable and they look really cool. And people are like cruising at a nice clip with like barely any effort. It looks like a lot of fun. And I bet it is a lot of fun. And I bet if you live in a super comfortable, temperate part of the country, you could be like, I don't know why everybody doesn't have an e-bike. Call me from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure, man. For sure.
What are you going to do with an e-bike? Shiver at it?
Email it?
Yeah. <to somebody. laughs> Oh my God. What is this? This story comes from AP News. A woman says she fractured her ankle when she slipped on a slice of prosciutto and now she's suing.
Well, it's not Prostapo, it's prosciutto.
Oh,
so it makes sense, right? Makes sense that you would slide on it.
But I knew you'd ham it
up. Of all the things to slide on, I'm really upset it's prosciutto because it's like, that's delicious. And
it feels like a waste of good prosciutto.
Admittedly, there is a lot of fat content. I was actually reading a book recently that was talking about the different layers of prosciutto and how they're important to the whole. And it was talking about how the inside is overly salty. So if you pull all the fat off of the prosciutto, the salt doesn't penetrate the fat. The salt only penetrates the meat. But if you pulled all the fat off it and you just ate the meat part,
it'd be disgusting.
It would be very, very salty, overly salty, which is why you have to eat it as a whole.
Oh, that makes sense.
Together.
Yeah, to balance it.
Yeah, to balance it. So you can't balance it.
Well, the problem with balancing when you step on it is you can't do it.
Slide all over.
Slip and slide.
I want slide them on the bottom of your feet. You're just skating around. You're skating around the whole place. Everybody at Eataly has just got these things on the bottom of their feet and they're just speed prosciuttoing across the ground.
This story made me want to build a meat slip and slide. How much fun would a meat slip and slide?
I'll tell you what, it's good for one use because after that, it smells real, real bad.
a multi-user, invite all your friends out on a hot summer day. Lay down slices of prosciutto across the tarp.
Your prosciutto tarp.
Spray it down with your hose. Hey, guys.
Yeah.
You stand up and you're covered in meat slabs. Oh, God. Yeah, she's fucking suing.
She broke her foot. She's walking through your place. It'd be the same thing as if just somebody like threw bananas on the ground or whatever, you know? It's like ice if they spilled ice.
I think we need a new cartoon trope where instead of banana peels, it's prosciutto slices.
Prosciutto slices.
It's just
someone's eating a sandwich and their prosciutto slice slowly drifts
like
down
like a
feather.
Yeah.
Like a feather as it flows to the ground because it's sliced so thin and then somebody just like whoop. Boom. I'll gladly pay you Thursday for a slice of prosciutto today. I got to show this picture of these bears, Tom. I got to play a So, Tom, I'm going to play you a video of these bears.
Yeah.
Let me play you a video of these bears because they so look like people. They're called sun bears. And I got to play this.
A zoo in eastern China is trying to reassure visitors their sun bears are not people dressed in costumes. Rumors and conspiracy theories have been swirling on social media.
It looks like a fucking person in a bear costume. Guys, it does. It's standing straight up.
It's standing straight up.
Just straight up.
And not tilted forward. Like most bears, when they stand up, they don't look like they are naturally just standing. This looks 100% like a person standing upright.
And it like weirdly looks like its skin is stretched across a person frame.
Yeah, it very much does.
It really does.
It very much does.
And it's like gesturing like, I don't know why I'm here.
It's wait till it starts.
I'm a fucking Chinese dissident.
It's going to start waving. It 100% looks like a person.
Video of a sun bear standing on its hind legs, looking uncannily human, and appearing to wave at the crowd. Its fur appears loose and wrinkled in places, almost like an ill-fitting bear suit. Sun bears are the world's smallest bear species, and the zoo insists people just don't understand their behavior.
100% look like people in bear suits. They just do.
Can you imagine, Cecil, you're a zoologist and you're like, you know, it's a bear. God damn it. God damn it, everybody.
The worst part about that article is they don't show you what a sun bear looks like. I had to search for it. I couldn't find it on the actual article. I had to find that video that I showed you today. But genuinely, you know, there are some creatures once in a while that do something and they have that very human-esque sort of look to them. And it freaks people out. It very much freaks.
Because it's odd, man.
It's super uncanny. It's crazy.
Like, I don't like those sun bears. Yeah. Like, I'm zero out of ten on sun bears.
Also, many different types of monkeys and apes do some very human-like shit too. Yeah,
and they shouldn't.
Yeah.
No, and they just shouldn't.
They just shouldn't.
They shouldn't. They should. We should
have
stop
ever,
them.
Have you ever seen the monkeys watching people do magic tricks through the glass?
No. Wait,
search
what?
For this, right? Okay. So people will do magic tricks for a monkey or a baboon or whatever. I don't know, different species of ape or primate of some kind. And they will do a magic trick for them. And then they will do this. And almost every time they do the BJ and the bear, like, ooh, it's the funniest shit ever. There's other times where people will bring their like newborn over and the primate will pat the newborn. They want to see it. They'll like wave to it and be like, I want to see
bring that over closer. Here.
Yeah. I want to see your baby sort of thing. So there's some like kind of adorable stuff. They probably want to eat it, but there's some adorable stuff they do too, but like,
for sure.
You should check it out. Like, see if you could find those primates getting fooled by magic tricks. It's really funny to see them just react because they react very human.
Like people would. Yeah.
A person like, where'd that fucking quarter go?
You know, it's behind my ear.
It's hilarious, dude.
Fucking here we go again. This is from NPR. Monster hunters are conducting the largest search of Loch Ness in more than 50 years.
I was just at Loch Ness. I was just there.
Well, you went to Loch Ness.
I went to Loch Ness very recently in the last.
How
I was
big
there
is the Loch?
So you can see across the lake. Like you
That's
could.
Not I mean, a big Loch.
So
man.
It's not big wide. It's big long.
Okay.
So it's maybe about as wide as, you know, like. It's probably like two or three times as wide as like some of the bigger rivers around here.
Okay.
It's not really wide.
Huge.
You know, the Kankakee River.
Yeah, sure.
It's probably about four or five times as wide as the Kankakee.
Oh, okay. That's
so not really big.
But it just
happens to be super long. It's very, very long.
Like
it stretches miles and miles and miles. It's just a big gash that is 750 feet deep.
And That's deep as fuck.
It's supposed to be really cold too. So like the top of the water stays normal temperature, like gets warm or whatever in the summer. But if you go any deeper, it's super, super cold.
That makes sense. Yeah, right.
Because it gets cold in the winter and it retains that chill. I was actually, there's a castle right on, castle ruins, right on the lake. And there's a cool thing. If you ever go there, there's a cool, you sit down and watch a movie about this castle.
Okay.
And then you get to go outside and see this castle in its ruins. And it's really neat to see that, you know, the castle as it's depicted and then the castle ruins that are left.
That's really
And
cool.
It's right along the river, or not along the river. I call it a river because it looks like a river, right along the lake.
And they do tours on the lake, and I got a chance to sort of hang out there. I drank a scotch sitting there and watching it and stuff.
That's cool.
But we went there specifically because we wanted to get a picture in front of it.
Because
it's goofy and whatever. But we were right there. But yeah, there's still people there who still go out on these big boats, and they still look for this stuff. This was a hoax back then, and it was shown to be a hoax.
I know. And here we are like, well, maybe if we look, there's no fucking monsters in the lake. Why would there be? What would it eat? How would it have a breeding population? Like, none of the like basic biology questions have ever been like, they've all been conclusively been like, that can't be a thing.
It can't happen.
Yeah. It just can't be a thing. And everyone's like, yeah, but there's a grainy photo from back before cameras were real.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, all right. But now like every cell phone has a better camera than every camera. Yeah.
And there's not anything
and there's
like
nothing.
That.
There's literally nothing.
Because that was fake. It was literally faked.
Here, like, I love how...
And I'm talking about this photo, by the way. If you're unfamiliar and you're watching, it literally just looks like maybe a finger sticking out of the water or something. People say it looks like the neck of a some type of dinosaur.
Right, yeah. I will never stop being amused how as soon as 320 million high-definition cameras were put into the hands of every person, all of a sudden, there's no more ghosts.
I know, there's no more
ghosts.
There's
no more fucking Bigfoots.
But that's not true, though, because there's plenty of people out there doing fake shit, right? So,
yeah, right,
so
right.
I once in a while, my wife will watch a show where people send in their ghost clips, and then they'll get a bunch of jokers to talk about them, because there are all these, plenty of people online are professional ghost hunters or whatever, right?
I've got the wrong job.
I don't know how much money they're making, but I'm recently unemployed, and so maybe I could do some of this stuff. But seriously, they bill themselves, and then they get on these shows, and they have these podcasts, these ghost story podcasts or whatever, and so they'll come on and talk about these clips that they see. And so they'll go into a basement, and as they walk into a basement, a beach ball or something, or a fucking spool of wire or roll across.
Sure.
And they've got a camera with them, and so they immediately run away, and nobody investigates anything, and they immediately run away. And then all these people come on, and then they speculate about what it was. Oh, you don't want to go into basements, because basements are known to harbor spirits, because the spirits always try to go below where the storm comes. And so if the storm comes in,
they like to be in the basement because it's like 67 degrees. Yeah, it's kind of like perfect.
It's like, it's nice. And they like to be by, but seriously, they say nonsense. They say nothing. And then they say it as if it's true. And they do it over and over and over again. And nobody's ever walked in there to be like, okay, well, that thing moved. Well, what moved it?
Right.
Nobody goes over and picks it up. Nobody drags. There's a guy in another room with a fucking thing who's pulling it to him. I mean, it's unbelievable how easy it is to debunk this, but nobody ever tries.
Right. But because the point of those shows is not to debunk, it's to bunk.
Yeah.
It's to create bunk.
Yeah.
But like, here's what I think we should do. You and I should become ghost hunters. But I think we should become ghost hunters. Like, we should go in heavily armed. Like, we're going to fuck shit up. And like, we should leave every house that we ghost hunt tore up, like the Slimer scene from Ghostbusters
in
1.
Shambles.
Just like
everybody's in
just
shambles.
Blasting holes through the walls.
Yeah.
Just shut the door like the ballroom for Slimer. And just blow the shit out of their house.
Yeah.
And walk out and be like, we got that motherfucker. And just like leave him to the wreckage.
And then it just falls over. And then you throw your invoice at him and walk away. Yeah, no,
we
man.
We take credit cards.
These people are, they just make money because you basically are playing to a group of people who want to see this. They want to see a ghost, and they want to hear what this person has to say. Everybody says the same stuff. It's always the same thing. Like, a ghost is disturbed. And so it always travels in its same little circle to just because it's disturbed and it's out of its cycle or whatever. And they all have their theory and they just say their theory over and over again.
If we do the ghost hunting idea, I'm not letting this go.
I know.
If we do the ghost hunting idea, we need to open an office. And in that office, we need to have a whole bunch of mounted ghost heads that are just the wood.
100%.
And then we want to be like, whoa, step a little back from that one. It still bites, you know, like
still crazy.
And see who pretends they can see it.
I think this is a great idea.
This would be the best.
This is a great idea. I also feel like we have to travel to the place in our own, whatever vehicle, it has to, each vehicle, we each have to have a vehicle, yeah, but they have to be like an excavator or a backhoe, yes, or something like that. So we have to travel there in one of those, but it has to be green. It has to be painted green, like Ecto-1 or whatever.
I love it.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
But it has to be like a skid steer or something.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or a bulldozer. So it's just like, crane.
We're here.
Yeah, I'm here.
We are fucking,
yeah,
here. We're
and I just drive right in their house.
And then when it's all done, just light some sage just, over, yeah, like over the smoking ruins, yeah, of their family photos.
Yeah, you have a backhoe that's just filled with sage that's burning and you're throwing it everywhere. And
got him. We, man, got that motherfucker.
I'll tell you what, man. If you could easily, there's people in every city that run ghost tours.
I know.
And they just, I'm sure they make, did half you ever of go that
on
stuff
one?
Up.
I went on one in Galena.
Did you?
Yeah, Haley and I went on one in Galena.
How was it?
It was goofy dumb. It, yeah, was just like a thing. Like at one point they did they put the thing in the center of the room. I don't remember. It was like EMF or something. Yeah. And it was like, sure, and you know, they tell you a ghost story or whatever. And everybody's like, oogity poogity, you, yeah, know? And like Haley and I are just giggling in the corner.
I went to, Sarah and I stayed in the mansion that inspired The Shining. So the,
oh, I remember you
the
told
mansion
me that. Yeah.
Is in Estes Park, Colorado, and it's a hotel. And now I'm blanking on the name.
It's not the Overlook.
Stanley.
Yeah.
Stanley Hotel. And so we stayed in the Stanley Hotel, which inspired him to write The Shining. And it's a nice hotel. It's pretty. It's one of these older sort of Victorian type hotels. No fucking air conditioning. It was hot. And it was just fucking burning up. And you open the windows and nothing happened. And I was just like, this is the worst place to stay. I paid an exorbitant amount of money to go there. And it was fucking too hot to sleep. And I was angry the whole time. I was like, the reason why somebody fucking chopped somebody to bits in this hotel is because there's no air conditioning. That's why. But we went on their tour. And their tour is the Stephen King tour. So to tell you, yeah, about it, but then they also tell you about the people who died in the hotel. So they're talking about all the people who died. And we're with about 15 people walking around this hotel. And we're talking about stuff. And he's like, and this used to be a room, but now it's been turned into two, like a room and this closet. And this closet is where a baby died or something like that. A baby or a kid or something died because it was part of a room at one point, okay, and the kid died in the back room or whatever. And sometimes people can hear him cry. And one of these idiots that I was with was like, I just heard him cry just now.
Oh my God. Like, oh my God.
Like, get the fuck out of here.
Fuck, I love people
but,
like
but
that.
But genuinely, just, everybody in the, yeah, whole, they were rapt attention. And I'm just like, God, this is the stupidest shit I've ever heard. But they got a whole spiel. They have, right, a whole story. Yeah. And we wound up in the basement. And I remember them saying, if any of you want to do any kind of, any of you guys want to talk to a psychic, this is a psychic. You can always call this number from the hotel. And the number was a 900 number.
Fuck you.
I'm not kidding. It was
That's
a 900
amazing.
Number. But you know, they get people to come.
Was
to
it Miss Cleo?
I don't think it was. I mean, if it was, then it was a ghost story. But they get people to show up and they get people to do that. But the money that they make off of that, so those they're in every there. There's one in Chicago. There's one in every
yeah,
city.
There's
you
the
visit.
Most haunted.
There's
in
one
wherever,
in you,
yeah.
every city you visit. There's somebody who's walking around telling a ghost story.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for this week. We'll see you Monday. Hopefully, maybe there's a new indictment. Who knows? We don't know. But we'll catch you Monday with another show. But we're going to leave you like we always do with the Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno-Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo quasi alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy, healing, water, downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your signs. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only.
All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.